All right, so as 2021 is coming to a close, how have you been challenged this year? I'm already sharing one of the challenges that we're going through. Has God closed doors only to open new ones that you would have never dreamed possible? Have you left open room to let God challenge you? How often, oftentimes we don't want to be challenged, we feel comfortable. Everybody like feeling comfortable? We feel safe. It's hard for us to feel vulnerable. It's in those times that God refines us, molds us to be strong in our faith, to take head on any challenges that we are faced with, knowing that we can be confident, knowing that he has our back. Do you believe he has your back this morning? He's been saying it all morning. He has your back. He wants to have a relationship with you. He has not forsaken you, right? You've been through the tunnel. We've all been through tunnels. We all have had challenges, and yet he's still broadcasting that light. He's still encouraging us. He's still bringing people into our lives to encourage us. He has our best interests at heart. He says in Deuteronomy 31:6, what does he say? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. So that's a charge. Be strong and courageous. He's not saying, see what you can do about it. Maybe you can just kind of fumble through and get to that point. He's saying, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, says the Lord. Your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. So what does it mean to be challenged? It means a call to take part in a contest, or competition, especially a duel, right? So if you're called to take part in a challenge, you're being asked to step up, right? Step out of your comfort zone, step out of what's familiar to you, and walk into a calling that he's set you apart, right? So for us, walking out of our comfort zone of having our three kids, going through the motions of Christmas, but stepping out and pouring love on a set of kids that we've never met before, right? And so God's still going to allow you to step out of your calling, step out into your calling, present opportunities to you, but it's your job to have faith and step out of that comfort zone and acknowledge those opportunities. Amen? John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Whatever you ask, all you have to do is ask. As a child of God, all you have to do is step out and ask, Father. So each one of us has calling on our lives. God doesn't promise that it will be sunshine and rainbows, does it? Does he say that our walk is going to be simple and easy? No. I'm 37 years old. I've gone up and down. I'm going to share a roller coaster ride that I've had experience recently. But he doesn't promise that. And so if you're under the assumption that because you're a Christian, that it's all going to be coasting, it never is. It never is. When it rains, it pours. You ever heard that? The more and more we live life, the more and more we realize we need Jesus. Because when it's pouring and we think that we can rely on ourselves, I feel like I've preached this before, but I'm preaching it again. That is the time when we need Jesus. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial." Fiery trial. Not the simple, you're just going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time at work. Oh, your family, it's going to be a rough go with your kids. No, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery." There's a difference between a small flame and a raging fire. Amen? When it rains, it pours. He's already saying to the church, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. It's hard to rejoice when you're going through the fire. It is hard to rejoice. But share Christ's sufferings that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Every challenge you encounter in life is a fork in the road. You have the choice to choose which way to go. Are you going to go backwards? All right. Everything's terrible. I'm just going to recede into this hole. Nobody talk to me. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm just doing away with all my responsibility. Are you going to move forward? God's got my back. Let's figure this out. Let's do this thing. I'm going to get connected with this pastor over here, my friend over here who I know encourages me all the time, and I'm going to move forward because I know that God loves me, and this is not what he wants me to be stuck in the rut, right? Because there are ruts. There are ruts. There are bigger holes to get stuck in. So you have the choice to go backward, forward, break down, or break through. Did you hear him say that this morning? Breakthrough. He's looking for us to break through. So what kind of challenges have you faced this year? Take a moment to reflect. Were you able to find God during the challenge, or did the enemy get the best of you? So I mentioned that I had a most recent challenge, right? So going through this process of praying about hosting and being stretched thin, as to say, because of other things going on in my life, I recently took on a new job. So for anybody who's worked in a particular position for 10 years and then take something different, it's stretching, right? It's challenging because you're learning something that you haven't been doing prior and moving into a different direction. And so for the past 10 years, I had been in a network support type role for a medical company. And I was pretty good at what I did, but times were starting to change and they wanted to pull us into the office. I didn't want to go back into the office. And so I started praying, God, what's going on here? Are you trying to move me out of my position? I was feeling like I wasn't connecting with my bosses any longer. There hadn't been a promotion in some time. It almost felt like a scenario where like I felt like I was out of favor almost. And so I started praying for God to open up a position. Both Becky and I were, you know, kind of going back into that area of where do we see me moving? Do we see me moving from this company to another? And so I took the leap out in faith, said, okay, God, if you want me to move out of what I'm doing, then, you know, make room. I'm just going to step out and just make room, and I'm going to believe that you're going to be able to do this in the course of 30 days. And, how many know when you give God that timetable, he always loves to, like, set it up, like, right at the end, right? I don't know why. Why does he do that? God, why do you do that? Is it because you want to challenge my faith? Is that? I don't know what it is. He talks, you know, like, the 11th hour, right? What's the 11th hour? It's that last second kind of notion. It's things are happening, and you're going to get to that point, but, ooh, it's right at the last second almost. And so it got towards the end of the month. I was starting to feel it. And, you know, and I'm in prayer, and God's telling me, be patient, just chill, be patient, just chill. He tells me that a lot. I don't know what, I think I get worked up, and then he has to, like, settle me down almost. And so so I went through the process and got the offer, and it was, you know, it was just all the high points, being home, and it was taking the next step of what I wanted to do and being an IT manager, and it felt right, okay? So God opened the door, stepped through, but how many know you might step through, but there's no guarantee that it's not going to feel like you're in a fire, right? Because he still wants to do work on you. He still wants to show you his favor, but there's still going to be challenges. Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. And so I went from being a part of a team that was very cohesive to being a part of a team that I've got toxic, sadly, I've got people who don't want to show up to work, right? And so I'm managing a team of some people that don't want to show up to work, and I'm learning, going completely from a networking hardware perspective to a completely remote software perspective. And so I'm learning that everything that I knew before isn't transitioning to what I'm supposed to be doing now. And there's been some times when I have been in tears at my desk. I'm just being real. At my desk, because I don't know what God's doing with this. He opened the door. Why am I feeling like I'm sitting in a fire and my hands are tied behind my back? And let me tell you, if you can get somebody to encourage you when you're going through that fire, and you know somebody that can come beside you and just give you scripture, give you something that you can verbally speak out. You know, a lot of times we like to stay in like the earthly moment. All right, I'm going to try and do what I can. I'm going to push, I'm going to pull, I'm going to do this and that. But God's bringing people, and God's pushing you to a kingdom perspective. So you have the earthly, and then you have the kingdom perspective. And the kingdom perspective is, look at where I have you, look at where I put you, look at who's beside you, I am with you. Does that make sense? Yeah? And so I had, you know, it's been a month, and I've been riding that roller coaster, and I've had, you know, thank God I have a wife who knows when to kick me out of the room watching Netflix to go have a moment with Father God in the other room when I'm not smart enough to get it through my head that I need to do that, you know? And thank God I have a pastor father-in-law who can give me direction, who can check in with me, and who has that ability to just come beside me and encourage me. And you know, Steve, I thank you for that. And so life is not easy sometimes when you're going through that fire of transition. There's that challenge. But we serve a God who isn't going to leave us or forsake us, leave us in that fire. And so I want to share a motivational video. It's about 10 minutes long, but it broke me, and Holy Spirit got a hold of me in such a strong way, I just knew I had to share it with everybody. So it's the second one. Yes.
Today we're going to learn one lesson. You may not need this lesson at this moment in your life, but there will come a time where you need to hear this lesson. 1 Samuel 30 verse 4. So David and the troops with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no strength left to weep. The scenario is that David and his troops are returning back to Ziklag from a fight, only to find out that their families have been taken and there is a bigger battle to come. And this situation is so relatable to each and every one of you in the room today. Life is a fight. And every single one of you is in the middle of a fight. Fighting to get the bills paid. Fighting to finish school. Fighting to keep your marriage away from divorce. Fighting to go to work. Fighting to get a promotion. Fighting traffic. Fighting to raise those kids. Fighting to even come home on time. Fighting for your health. And what you and I both know about life is that life does not fight fair. When you're in the middle of fighting for your health, boom, your car breaks down and there's another bill. Life is a fight. This is where David is in his life. He's in the middle of battle after battle after battle. And at this point, David's men had turned against him and were ready to stone him. He was at the brink of giving up. And many of you today are at the point where you're about to give up, standing at the edge of failure, where hell has thrown the kitchen sink at you, and life has drained you of your resources, and where people that promised you they will always be there have left, at the point where David was, many of you are today. At this point, what did David do? David encouraged himself. His wife wasn't there, his children wasn't there, his commanders and his generals had left him. But David encouraged himself. At a point in your life, you will have to encourage yourself. Your mama won't be able to do it. Your daddy won't be able to do it. Your pastor won't be able to do it. You will have to stand as an individual. myself, I am a child of God. I will get through this. This will not stop me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Nowhere in the Bible does it encourage giving up. Everyone around David had given up. And people around you will give up. You need to have the understanding that they're not built like you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the going gets tough, the child of God gets going. When the odds are stacked against you, when hell is coming in for the kill, when retreat looks like the only option, when it looks like there's no way you'll be able to win, when your back is against the wall, encourage yourself. Because at this moment, that's when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob moves into action. His strength is made perfect in weakness. At the point you're about to give up, at the point where you're tired, that's when the Lord's strength comes into play. David encouraged himself. David was not eaten up by the spirit of pride, but he encouraged himself in his own ability. He had the understanding and the grounding to know where his source of power was coming from, and encouraged himself in that area. The scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now the problem with you and me is we spend our time beating ourselves up about past mistakes, past bad decisions, past defeats and failures, rather than encouraging ourselves in the Lord we serve. Next time you're in this situation, you need to remind yourself and the battle you are facing, who you serve. Remind yourself, Exodus 14, verse 14, the Lord shall fight for me, and I shall hold my peace. Remind yourself, Deuteronomy 3, 22, I shall not fear, for the Lord my God, he shall fight for me. Remind yourself, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. Whom shall I fear? Remind yourself, Romans 8, 37, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Remind yourself, Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Remind yourself, Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Here is what I believe is the major problem in your life and in my life. And it is summed up by the Lord Jesus Christ in a simple sentence. Matthew 22, verse 29. Jesus replied to them, your mistake is that you do not know scriptures and you do not know the power of God. That is the foundational problem in our lives. We do not know scripture enough. Life can be unpredictable. And this is one of the many reasons why we should have certain Bible verses memorized in our hearts. Because in some situations, you won't have the opportunity to open up the Bible. An adverse situation could arise while you're at work. And you may not have the time to stop and to open the Bible. But if you have Isaiah 54 memorized, you can whisper to yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Speak the word into the situation in your life. Speak the word of God into situations in your life. Memorize scripture that help you through situations that you are going through. Not only memorize the scripture, but encourage yourself with it. If you wake up in the morning knowing today is going to be a difficult day, encourage yourself in the morning. Whilst you're in the shower, talk to yourself. Declare Deuteronomy 33, 25 over your day. As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. The harder your day, the greater the strength God is going to give you. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the strength God will give you to overcome it. If you're fighting an illness in your life, remind yourself, Psalms 118, verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. This is not the end for me. My story is not finished. I shall not die, but live and declare the words of the Lord. Stop relying on other people to pick you up. This is the harsh reality for some of you. The truth is, most people don't care about your situation. Help is not on the way in terms of human help. People can and will turn on you like the wind. People turned on David, and he was a king. David was a king. The women used to sing and dance about him. Yet they turned on him. And you think you are exempt of such treatment. wants you to encourage yourself. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, but in the Lord.
Your house, excuse me, your body is the house of your spirit, your human spirit. But somebody else lives in your house. It is not a single occupancy house. What does that mean? Somebody else lives in here besides me. Who, pray tell, is in there with you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh friend, what a statement. That means no matter what comes against you out here, the one who's in you is stronger, bigger, wiser, greater. It'll help you immensely at times when you feel weak to just lay your hands on yourself and say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The greater one is in me, and the greater one lives big in me. Somebody needs to say that. He is Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he is the apostle and the high priest of our confession, of what we say. He works with what we say. God is a spirit, a speaking spirit, and he creates with his words. And you and I are made in his likeness and image, and we're supposed to imitate him as dear children and speak like he speaks and release faith like he releases.
Take a look back through your life.
Oh man, he is in us, right? We have to be reminded, because oftentimes we're calling out to God, God, where are you? Why am I going through this fire? Why does this challenge seem so difficult? And he's reminding us, I've been inside the whole time. Just like you said in the clip, he is in there. He is in there through that. Be reminded. So Saul, the story of Saul and David, right? So David was called to be king. David was sought out and called to be king. And Saul, later on, as David got older, Saul had appointed David as the commanding officer of his army. And David had won battles. He had won wars. But David's fame had started to grow beyond Saul's. And what happened to Saul? Saul became jealous, right? David's getting the recognition. All the people love David. What about me? I'm the king. What about me? And so his jealousy started to have an impact on David. And David was challenged. David's challenge was to stay alive, right? He had a calling. But in order for him to walk in his calling, he had to stay alive. And so Saul continually attempted to kill David. Can you imagine if somebody tried to attempt to kill you continually? Would that weigh on you? Yeah, you'd think so, right? You would think, oh God, what the heck is going on? You already told me I'm going to have a calling as a king, but yet I'm being pursued as an animal. I'm being hunted down. What is going on? Why am I not walking in that calling? And so here's a few of the times, and we're going to read a little bit. Here's a few of the times when Saul attempted to kill David, right? It wasn't just once or twice. So in 1 Samuel 18:17, Saul plots such that his enemies are to do away with David, using his older daughter and then younger, as David goes to battle with the Philistines. Being heir to the throne would make David a prime target, right? So in 19:10, Saul attempts to kill David with a spear, right? 19:11, Saul sends messengers to kill David. 15, Saul sends messengers to bring David back so he can kill David. You see a theme here. Saul sends messengers to kill David. Saul sends messengers again, a third time in 21. 22, Saul goes himself in an attempt to kill David. 15, Saul sought David in the wilderness to kill David. 26:2, Saul seeks David again to try to kill David. And so, try to put yourself in David's shoes, right? You already know that you serve a big God, but where is God during all of this? Where is God during this challenge, during this adversity, right? And later on in 1 Samuel 23, so if you have your Bible, you can go to 1 Samuel 23:7, and we're going to read about the pursuit, right? The pursuit of Saul versus David. And in 7 it says, and this is going to be a bit of reading, but I promise we're gonna get through it to see the big picture. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has delivered him into my hands, for David has imprisoned himself by entering a town with gates and bars." And Saul called up his forces for battle to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David learned that Saul was plotting against him, he said to Abiathar, the priest, "Bring the ephod." David said, "Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard that Saul plans to come against Keilah and destroy the town on the account of me." So already he's seeing the fact that because of David walking in his calling and as the commander of the army and being pursued, there's the chance that Saul is just going to lose it and lose it on this whole town of people. And so David's seeing, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to be responsible for the downfall of this town. What is going on? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Lord God of Israel, tell your servant." So he's crying out, adversity, challenge. And the Lord said, "He will." Again, David asked, "Would the citizens of Keilah surrender me and my men to Saul?" The Lord said, "They will." So David and his men, about 600 in number, left Keilah and kept moving from place to place. When Saul was told that David had escaped from Keilah, he did not go there. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. See, David had gone from a point in his life where he was the commanding officer, right, of the armies. So you'd have to figure, if he was the commanding officer, he probably had it pretty nice, right? He had the respect. He probably had a house. You know, I think at this point he had kids. You know, he was established, and now he's being made to leave. He has the challenge where he's being pushed away in order to survive, to reach his full potential of his calling. And he had to go to the wilderness. So you're going from comfortable to you're out of there, straight to the wilderness. When he was in the desert, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Do not be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained. So David was fortunate to have somebody come beside him. And so the example of that is that we can be weak, right? I'll be the first to admit, going through the challenge, I felt the weakest I've felt in a long time. But to know that I have somebody who has my back internally and also somebody coming beside me gives great strength. And so I encourage you guys, if you don't have somebody like that, get somebody like that. You have a whole family here that is willing. You have a pastoral staff that is willing to come beside you for whatever challenge you're going through. So David was hiding. So then Saul replies, "The Lord bless you for your concern for me. Go and get more information." So he's telling this to the scouts that are trying to find where David is. "Find out where David usually goes. Who has seen him? Tell him he's very crafty." Or tell me. "They tell me he is very crafty. Find out about all the hiding places he uses. Come back to me with information. Then I'll go with you. If he's in the area, I'll track him down with all the clans of Judah." So now, it isn't just simply Saul taking a handful of his best men. He wants to take the whole shebang, the whole tribe of Judah going after David. Saul was going alongside one of the mountains, and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. As Saul and his forces were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly, the Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selamah Kalatha, something like that. And David went up there and lived in the strongholds. So it's interesting, there is a diversion, right? A diversion was set up so that David could get to the next step, right? And so God has that way of setting up some of those diversions so that we can get to that next step in our challenge. Because it's so easy to get bogged down by the challenges that we're going through, the fires that we're going through. But he's bringing us along, encouraging us, giving us verses, just like we heard on the video. Get in the shower and speak those verses. Speak them out loud. Speak them into reality. Take the kingdom principles and verbally speak them into existence. So then we see David sparing Saul's life. What an interesting turn of events. Being hunted, and then suddenly David deciding, I'm going to recognize what God already put into motion. This is the king of Judah. So he says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all of Israel, set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. Interesting place. He came to the sheep's pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. So it's interesting that they put that in the Bible. Like, they're just like, well, this is really what happened. Saul had to go, just like you and I have to go. He found a nice, cozy spot in the cave and just kind of just went. David and his men were far back in the cave. So you can kind of see the movie playing right here. Saul's to the corner. David's right there. They're starting to creep up. They're going to catch him with his pants down. So David's men were in the back. This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. See, let me read that again because you have to get this. This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, right? I'll give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. So when David's going through this motion of being pursued and being attacked over and over and over again, the Lord had brought up the fact that he was going to be successful in what was it? I'll give you your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. In the moment of being pursued, you're not going to feel like you're walking in that moment of I'm going to give you the enemy, and you're going to get to that place of I feel complete and successful in what you said, because it's a part of the journey, right? And God brings us into those challenges, but he's saying to you, look at my word, say my word, and then walk out my word. And so it gets ingrained in us, and then we have the strength to walk in it. Amen? So then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Oh, it seems like one of those moments he's just kind of toying with him almost, you know, like, see what I could have done? I'm just going to cut a piece of your robe off. Afterward, David was stricken for having cut off a corner of the robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord. So he's recognizing the call that God had put on Saul and who Saul was. He was a servant to Saul. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Right? So later on, they have a conversation. And Saul is recognizing, wow, you totally could have taken me out when I had my pants down and I wasn't looking. You could have just put me away. But you didn't, because you recognized who I was as the king, right? God set Saul up as the king, even though Saul was starting to get jealous and walking down a different path. So later on it says, "You are more righteous than I," he said of David. "You have treated me well, but I've treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me." When a man finds his enemy, does he let him go away unharmed? Not normally. May the Lord reward you well for what you have treated me like today. I know that you will surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family. So then David makes that promise, that covenant. So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold. So David was not able to walk out his calling to its fullest as king of Israel until he was able to overcome the challenge of being hunted and ultimately choosing life over death when he spared Saul. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed." Right? Who is that famous boxer? Philadelphia? Rocky, right? And if you've ever watched Rocky before, I feel like somebody, did you have a message that had Rocky in it? Somebody had something over the years.
Probably Van.
It might have been Van. But if you go back and watch Rocky, does everybody remember Mick? Hey, Rock!
Yeah.
Okay? So he was that angel on Rocky's shoulder. And so Rocky can recall some of those moments in his life where he was in the ring and he was having one of those moments with Mick. And Mick saying, "When you're down, you and you hear me, you can just get right up, Rock, because I love you." I just watched the clip, so I was able to kind of emulate that. But I feel like that's the same way when we recognize that the Holy Spirit's in us and we're down in the depths of that challenge, and the Holy Spirit's like, "Get on up. I got you back. Come on, get on back up. Look at the scripture." I'm really going off in a tangent with that voice, but yeah. But the modern day boxer, what happens if you've ever watched boxing? They get slugged. They get knocked down. What do they do to keep the fight going? They got to get back up, right? Their face looks bludgeoned. Their stomach's beat up and red, but they're hanging on the ring. Sometimes, I don't know about you and I, but I feel like I'm hanging on the ring. You know, you're hanging on the ring, but the voice of the Holy Spirit's, "Get on up, get on up." And so if we can recognize that it's Him saying that to us because He lives within us, then we have the ability to get back up, right? And we have brothers and sisters to encourage us in that. So if you're here this morning, you felt knocked down, drained, tired of the fight, that haymaker came. Know that you're not alone. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Your church family's here for you, the pastoral staff. God puts people in your path to walk alongside you and encourage you through difficult challenges. God continually reminded David that he would not forsake him. 1 Samuel 12:22 says, "For the Lord will not forsake his people." He's talking about you and I, his people. "For his great namesake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself, to be close to him." Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." You have a fighter in your corner, right? You don't have to go through the challenge alone. You have that fighter, and he's saying he's going to fight for you. How are you planning on facing your challenges? We're going into a whole new year, right? Joy comes in the morning, right? You may have had those challenges that you're going through right now, but there's joy in the morning. Doesn't that give you hope that there's joy when you wake up? Sometimes there is times at the end of the day when I was just torn down and ready to go to sleep because I wanted the next day to come. I didn't want to be living in the same day, living in the same circumstances of the challenge that I was dealing with some of these employees who weren't coming to work, and it was on me to figure out why. And God's saying there's joy in the morning. Step out and realize that you're not in the season completely, but the seasons don't last forever, right? Winter time, the winter only lasts for a season. Now, of course, we're going into winter, so lo and behold, we're going to be cold for a bit. But we know that joy comes in the spring. And what happens in the spring? Life starts to populate. The leaves start to come out. The trees are blooming. We see animals frolicking like in Bambi. I don't know. Maybe. We hit deer on the road. That's a grim scenario. But there's joy in the morning. You see where I'm getting at? We're not living in just that challenge forever. There's seasons of challenges. So how are you planning on facing your challenges in 2022 in the horizon? Will you include Heavenly Father with you? Will you remember that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, that you are not alone, that He has your back, that you're not walking this journey by yourself? Will you remember that you're His child? You and I have to continually remind ourselves, or else we get in that rut. We have to walk in victory through each challenge and not in defeat. Don't hang your head down. Do not hang your head down. Because when you hang your head down, you're not able to see what's in front of you. You ever tried walking through an airport with your head down? You're going to walk into, like, people all around you. You're going to walk into, you know, like, you need to keep your head up and focusing forward. And so this morning I feel like God is telling us to seize that victory in our challenges. Keep our focus straight on Him. When we start going through that tunnel, I love the tunnel. I don't know, I can't get away from the tunnel, God said. Just because I was just going through many, many tunnels and it was late at night and I was tired and everything's zooming around me. But everything's zooming around you. Keep focus at the end of the tunnel. Keep your focus on Him. I want to kind of go towards the end of service and share a song. This is one that my wife and I were on our way to Pittsburgh. We went to Pittsburgh over the weekend because that's why I mentioned the tunnels. And we heard a song called Victorious by Skillet. And so I'm going to rock you a little bit this morning. But it is such a powerful song of stepping out into victory, recognizing challenges, and then moving forward through those challenges. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You feel encouraged this morning.
Yeah.
I hope I was able to kind of bring that and just kind of share, because like I said, this was something that God had stirred up within me just because of the things that I had been facing. And it felt like this was something that God wanted to share with each and every one of us, as we saw, you know, towards the beginning of service. So so take some time, listen to the lyrics, and just have that moment with Father. Amen.